The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. So we'll be looking at that. Next Sunday is the Sunday before Right to Life Sunday, and we'll be looking at bioethics. What does the Bible say about human life? How does God view human life? Does God value human life? And we'll be looking at briefly at each: abortion, euthanasia, suicide, capital punishment. What does the Bible have to say about each one of those things? And then the next Sunday, on the 19th, we'll be having a Gideon speaker. The Gideons, and I encourage you to come and be prepared to give at the end of the service. We'll take up a love offering for them. There are 5 Gideon camps in Central Florida, and they have to take care of 80,000 hotel rooms because the world comes to Disney. 45 million visitors a year to Disney. The mouse does a big business, okay? So does Epcot. In fact, when I married Eileen, I promised her that if she married me and I take her on a trip around the world, and she married me, and now I'm planning to take her to Epcot and do it one day. So the Gideons not only keep Bibles in all the hospital rooms and all of the hotel rooms, but in doctor's offices. Polk State College does allow them one day a year to pass out Bibles on campus to any student that wants it. Usually they pass out the little red testament to fifth graders in elementary schools. And when the Bibles last 4 or 5 years in a hotel room, and then when they get beat up, then they take them down to the jails and the prisons. And so the Gideons do a great work, and some of you could be a Gideon. You have to be a businessman, and they have a meeting once a week, and you could actually be a Gideon and participate in that if you wanted to. So we'll be having a Gideon speaker on January 19th, and he'll share some of the ministry. Something else, out in the vestibule, the foyer, for those of you that are from Florida like me, the coming in room, okay? There is the Gideon Memorial Bible Display. If you want to honor someone or you want to send a card when someone passes away, you can send the Gideons money, and in honor of that person, they will place Bibles and send the person a card. And that's the Gideon Memorial or Honor Bible Display, and it's out in the front here, and I would encourage you to use that as the opportunity arises. To place Bibles in honor of someone, or to place Bibles in memory of someone with the Gideons. All right, Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. It's a very important verse. First thing I see is this is an antithetic parallelism in Hebrew poetry. You know, Hebrew poetry doesn't rhyme. Hebrew poetry either uses assonance, where they repeat sounds over and over and over, like "Round the Rugged Rock, the Ragged Rascal Ran." And we lose all of that in an English translation of the Hebrew. Or they have 2 lines, and the second line reaffirms the first line. That's called synthetic parallelism. Or the second line develops the first line. That's called climactic parallelism, the parallel, the 2 lines. Or the second line says the opposite of the first line, and that's called antithetic parallelism. This is an antithetic parallelism. You can live a life of pride and self-confidence and self-exaltation, or you can live a life of faith in God. And it contrasts in these two lines. His soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. First line. But what's the opposite? The just shall live by faith. Bible has a lot to say about pride. When pride cometh, them cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 11:2. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. What's the middle letter of pride? I. The cry of the Mimi bird. I. You ever known anybody that was a legend in their own mind? Yeah. Did you ever date anybody like that? Did you ever marry anybody like that? People that you wish you could buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. Yeah, the world is full of those kind of people. Self-exaltation, Proverbs 25, 27. It is not good to eat much honey. Also, for men to search their own glory is not glory. Let someone else tell you how great you are. You don't need to be telling everybody else what you've accomplished and how great you are. Obadiah, verse 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle. Now understand, the eagle is the bird that flies the highest. Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle. Now the stars are the farthest thing you can see in the sky. So he uses eagles and stars. Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. And of course Jesus said, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you want an outline for the book of Habakkuk, I have another one. Chapter 1, faith tested. Chapter 2, faith taught. And chapter 3, faith triumphant. Now, why is this verse important? Because this is the verse that changed Martin Luther's life. Not Martin Luther King, all right? Let's get that straight. Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation by mistake. Let's do a history lesson. Martin Luther was born in 1483 in Eisleben, Germany. His father was a coal miner. His father wanted something better for his son, so he sent him to a Latin grammar school run by the Brethren of the Common Life. Now, this is important. These are the same people that educated Desiderius Erasmus. These are the people that believed that the church was corrupt, the church needed to be reformed, and that they should get back to the Bible and get back to the writings of the early disciples and the early apostles, the early church fathers. And so he was educated by these people. Erasmus is the first one to do a critical edition of the New Testament based on the best Greek manuscripts. And Erasmus's Greek Testament is the basis for the King James Bible and New Testament. He went to the University of Erfurt and got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in law. He was going to be a lawyer. His parents wanted him to make a lot of money. Support them. You know, his dad was a hardworking coal miner. Now, Luther, being raised Catholic, was full of guilt. And he was constantly terrified of the wrath of God. One of his close friends died his senior year in college, and he was worried that he was going to die and go to hell. And so all this was on his mind. He gets into a terrible thunderstorm, and he's afraid he's going to die, so he makes a bargain with God. You know, people bargain with God all the time. Oh, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this and this and this. Well, Luther said, if you get me out of this and save my life, I'll become a priest. And he didn't die, so he became a priest there in Erfurt, where the university was. There was an Augustinian monastery, the Order of St. Augustine. And so he becomes an Augustinian monk. I shouldn't do this, but I am. You know, there are a lot of Catholics that go to Las Vegas to gamble. And when they win, then they go to Mass and they throw their poker chips in the offering plate. And it's a real problem for the Diocese of Las Vegas. So the bishop out there has these special priests that go to the casinos and cash them in and bring the money back to the church. And you know what these special priests are called? Chipmunks. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. All right. So he becomes an Augustinian monk, and he starts studying the Bible. The Augustinians are very much into Bible study. But he was so guilty. He could never do enough to please God. The wrath of God was always upon him. He would go to confession 5, 6, 7 times a day. Finally, the confessor at the monastery said, Martin, come back when you got something to confess. True story. So he goes and gets his doctorate. He becomes the pastor and the professor of Bible at Wittenberg, Germany. And he's teaching through the Bible and pastoring this Catholic church. He teaches through Romans, Psalms, Galatians, Hebrews, Titus, and Judges. And as he's teaching through the Bible, Romans 1:7, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. And he comes up with three convictions from his study of the Bible. Number one, salvation rests entirely on God's grace, not on works. Number two, all good works of the natural man are sin. God saves us by grace. Number three, divine grace comes from the election and regeneration being born again by God. Doesn't come from anything we do. And because of that, he actually puts 95 ideas to debate on the church door at Wittenberg, Germany. They're called the 95 Theses. He nailed them on the door because everybody went to church. If you want to discuss an issue, you nailed it on the church door. Everybody read it, everybody debated it. Now, he was tried for heresy, and his trial is called the Diet of Worms. Now, diet is a convention or a trial or an assembly, and Worms, W-U-R-M-S, Worms, is a city in Germany. So his trial is called the Diet of Worms. I had a student that wrote me a paper one time and said, Martin Luther died because he ate a diet of worms. Yeah. So they put him on trial. They accuse him of all these things. At the end, he gets a chance to stand up. And his concluding remarks are these. If the Pope or an angel from heaven says this, and I cannot confirm it in the Bible, I cannot accept it. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. And there's a famous biography of Luther called Here I Stand. Now, he didn't intend to split the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform the church, but the printing press had been invented. Everything Luther wrote was printed and dispersed all over Germany in a matter of days. And so before they could put him to death, he was hidden in a castle. And while he was in that castle, he married a monk named Katie, and he had a bunch of kids, and she made him homemade beer in the backyard. And these are, you learn a lot in church history, okay? And he translated the Bible into German, which became the basis of the modern German language. And he founded the Lutheran Church, and he's the one that started the hymnal in the church, the people singing hymns. And he wrote a number of hymns. His most famous hymn is what? A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Now, the just shall live by faith. And that's why we sit here today. And we believe that. I want to look at those three places in the New Testament. I want you to turn to Romans 1:17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans is the sixth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. The book of Romans, chapter 1. The first half is the gospel of God. The second half is the wrath of God. The whole point of Romans is justification. How can human beings be right with God? Matthew Henry said, to show us the way to salvation, Paul must show us the way to justification. When are we justified? When our sins are paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. God's moral virtue and excellence leads him to judge sinners. But his love in Christ leads him in Christ to redeem sinners. And so Romans is about justification. And here you have the quote from Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Look at it, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so there's three parts to that verse. The just shall live, the book of Galatians talks about how to live, by faith, the book of Hebrews has the faith chapter. And those are the three places you find this verse in the New Testament. Donald Gray Barnhouse was trying to explain one time justification. We normally take the word justified and we do a little wordplay with it. What is justified? Just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Barnhouse said this: every one of us at some time or other has walked into an office to pay a bill, telephone bill, electric bill, some other kind of bill. We hand the money to the clerk who counts our money, takes the bill we owe, stamps it, and hands it back to us as a receipt. The company could never collect that bill from us again, even if they tried to do so, because we would produce the receipt and they would know the matter had been cleared and settled and we were free from that obligation forevermore. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ walked up to Calvary, which was God's desk for the payment of the bill of our sins. The account was heavy against us, and the Lord Jesus Christ settled that account by shedding his blood in dying for us. The whole point of the book of Romans is justification. Who is justified? How are they justified? And so Paul uses this verse, the just shall live by faith. Then Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. So just flip over with me, past 1 and 2 Corinthians to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians has three parts. Chapters 1 and 2 are personal. Chapters 2 and 3 are doctrinal. Chapters 5 and 6 are practical. But the point of the book of Galatians is, how do you live as a Christian? Do you live under the law or do you live under grace? Paul had a problem. There were people that believed you had to become a Jew and keep all the Jewish laws before you could become a Christian. These people were the Judaizers. And many times they would find out where Paul had planted a church. And after Paul moved on, they would come to town and say, well, Paul taught you about Jesus, but he didn't teach you all the truth. You've really got to become a Jew and keep all the Jewish laws and keep all the Ten Commandments before you can become a Christian. You have to be circumcised before you can become a Christian. You have to keep all the dietary laws before you can become a Christian. These people were called the Judaizers. Book of Galatians was written against these people because the point is we are justified by faith. Look at Galatians 3:11. Let's back up to verse 9, Galatians 3:9. For then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And there you see that verse again. What's he saying? The blessing came to Abraham through faith. Abraham was accepted by God before the law, before the Ten Commandments. That comes with Moses. The law condemns, and so if you're relying on the law, you're condemned. Blessing comes by faith, and it can never come by the law. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How do we live? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I live by the sake of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, probably the greatest Baptist preacher that ever lived, wrote this. You must either be cursed by God or else you must accept Christ bearing the curse instead of you. This is the truth which the apostles preached and suffered and died to maintain. It is this for which the reformers struggled. It is this for which the martyrs were burned at the stake at Smithfield, England. It is the grand basic doctrine of the Reformation and the very truth of God. The just shall live by faith. So Romans 1:17 deals with justification. Galatians 3:11 deals with how you live. But Hebrews 10:38, Hebrews is the fat book in the back before you get to Revelation. Hebrews chapter 10, it's the book before James. most famous chapter in Hebrews is chapter 11, the faith chapter. There are certain chapters that are famous. The love chapter is 1 Corinthians 13. The resurrection chapter is 1 Corinthians 15. But the faith chapter is Hebrews 11. If you look at Hebrews 11, and it gives all the heroes of the faith, which would be a great sermon series. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab, who is in the line of Jesus. By faith, by faith, by faith. But isn't it interesting that two verses before the faith chapter, he explains how you do faith? Hebrews 10, verse 38. Go to Hebrews 11, 1 and count up two verses. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The just, and who are the just? Those of us that are saved and justified, shall live. How do we live? In Jesus Christ. How is that done? By faith. Those are the three places in the New Testament where Habakkuk is quoted, and Luther taught all of these. What does it mean, the just shall live by faith? Constantly relying on the Son of God to enable them to do all their duties. And in the faith chapter, it's to persevere against all the problems, all the circumstances, all the persecution that they went through. It's a very powerful chapter of the Bible. John Trapp, the ancient Puritan commentator that had a great sense of humor, John Trapp said, in the absence of feelings, we rest in God. Oswald Chambers said, faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves and knows the one who is doing the leading. What do we have faith in? Well, we have faith in God himself. God is reliable. You can trust him. We have faith in our salvation. 1 John chapter 5, 11. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This life is in his Son. We can have faith in God himself. You can trust God. We can have faith in our own salvation. We can know we are saved. We can know we are going to heaven. If you have the Son, you have life. And we can believe in God's promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Herbert Lockyer has a book called All the Promises of the Bible. Tremendous Bible study. We can have faith in God himself. We can have faith in our salvation. We can have faith in God's promises. The just shall live by faith. Who? The just. What? Shall live. How? By faith. Now, there are a lot of people in Winter Haven and Polk County that will say, well, I think if you're just sincere, that's enough. Okay? In Houston, Texas, not long ago, a woman died in pain and agony. A lab tech had given her sodium cyanide instead of glucose in an IV. Now, the lab tech was sincere, and she was sincerely trying to help her. She was sincerely trying to do a good thing. She sincerely believed what she was doing was the right thing. But you know what? The woman died anyway. Doesn't matter how sincere you are if you're sincere in anything but Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, guys, the just shall live by faith. And that's why that verse was so important to Luther. And that's why that verse is so important to three different books of our New Testament. Because it's the basis of our salvation. The just shall live by faith. And so I had a couple questions down here. I'm going to go ahead and ask them. Do you live by faith? Is our life governed by God, or is it governed by the circumstances that happen to us? Do other people see us living by faith instead of being sucked down by our circumstances? And is our faith growing as we grow as a Christian? The just shall live by faith. That's the theme of the whole service this morning. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, then this is the time to do it. We're going to sing hymn number 460.